Welcome to the Nurses for Healthy Environments podcast. My name is Beth Schenk. I'm a registered nurse in Missoula, Montana. Today, we are speaking with Jean Leffers, Professor Emeritus from the College of Nursing at the University of Massachusetts in Dartmouth. Good morning, Jean.
Good morning, Beth, and thank you so much for inviting me to speak to you today.
You bet. We're glad to have you. Why don't you tell us a bit about yourself and your work?
Well, I'm currently a professor emeritus, which means I'm not full-time employed at the university, but I still maintain a lot of contact there in terms of guest lecturing and working with some of the faculty around some of the issues that are near and dear to me. But besides my work through the university, I've continued doing some teaching at Villanova University and the University of Rhode Island, particularly around global and public health and specifically environmental health, where I see a key linkage among them all. And I've been involved in some other educational work, writing, publishing, and doing some advocacy.
Sounds busy. So talk a little bit more about that link that you mentioned about environmental health being key to all of these areas of your interest. Why is that?
Well, what's interesting, Beth, is that when I first began getting more, I've been a public health nurse and then a public health nursing faculty member for many years. And my interest in the environment goes back probably more than 25 years. Certainly my personal interest goes back to the early 70s when I started wanting to use reusable products and recycle as best I could, and so forth. But my strong interest in environmental health and in global health as a faculty member, I used to joke and say that when the two came together, then I could retire because everything seemed to be so put into boxes. But the more I traveled globally, the more I saw the connections and the more I learned about environmental health, I clearly saw that the environmental health concerns are a global concern, and you can't consider global health without looking at the environment. And now the term planetary health, which is promoted the Lancet journal from the UK, has a lot of writing on planetary health. They actually have a planetary health branch of their journal, but it really makes that link. But before that term came out, I even really saw the deep connection between the concerns for climate change and health. It is a global issue. Certainly, it affects the entire planet, and it affects the environment in profound ways.
You have been an educator for much of your life. How do you help students get that link? Because oftentimes, nursing students and nurses are concerned with the patient in front of them. And it seems like another world to talk about these global issues that are really impacting health at a local level. How do you help younger nurses understand that better?
That's a pressing question. Certainly the younger nurses, the ones who are most concerned during their education about learning how to deal with the pathophysiology and the nursing interventions that are all new to them, they tend to put public health concerns, the environment, global health, as more of a secondary concern to their immediate learning. However, if you capture them with some interests that really look at them personally, such as doing a small assessment of the environment in their town they came from, city they came from, or the cosmetics they use, looking at the environmental working groups, personal care products, inventory. If they start looking at local concerns that may be in the media, then I think it starts to hit them that this is really relevant to them personally. And if it is to them, it must be to their patients. It's certainly not a stretch when I've taught nurses, practicing nurses who are completing their bachelor's degree or graduate students. Their response is, oh my, why didn't we learn this in our basic curriculum? Why is this not part of nursing? So I think a key is to engaging the younger students and sometimes giving them a little assignment. What I often do is ask them to come to class and assign numbers, you know, if there's 50 students, 1 through 50, and ask them each to consider a particular topic. So then when I go around the class, at least they've done a little homework, and some of them actually, because their topic is very small, they get excited about that small piece. So I hope that then they get a little more engaged about the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of curricula, and the lack of environmental health content in it sometimes, because nursing curricula are jam-packed, that's an awful lot to learn in 4 years. Tell us about your work. You've really been a key contributor to the electronic textbook that's available on the Alliance of Nurses for Healthy Environments website. Tell us about that.
Well, this goes back to the gathering that in Oracle, Arizona, back about almost 10 years ago, I guess, 9 years ago, where we launched Annie, and we kind of developed different work groups. And the one that I most aligned with is the education work group, because of the exact things you mentioned, the need to prepare faculty in order to prepare nurses for environmental health. And as a co-chair of the education work group, one of our priorities was to disseminate information in usable ways for faculty and practicing nurses. And we developed the environmental health nursing textbook. And we wanted to make it electronic and freely accessible, and wanted to have ways to update it. Now, obviously, it's only been fully published for 1 year now. So it took many years of working, because we did self-publish it. And we're already working on an update to that. It's got a lot of general content around many of the key areas of who is most vulnerable to environmental health concerns, some of the environmental health sciences, certainly the work you contributed and with other colleagues around sustainability in practice settings and environmental health work there. Working in communities, issues around climate change, environmental justice, and also contributions from our policy advocacy and our research work groups. Along those lines, our education work group really wanted to address that exact statement you had, that our curricula are jam-packed. How do we integrate this without making faculty feel burdened to, quote, add one more thing? So we had a group of us from the work group published a manuscript in, I believe that one was in Nurse Educator, about the ways that are simple to integrate environmental health concerns into the existing curricula. And to do that, we actually met with nurses from the University of Maryland, nurse faculty, who were not particularly versed in environmental health. And we talked about some of the content that is typically in the courses and how we could make that link. And it might be as simple as when you're teaching about cardiac disease to simply mention the impact of air quality on adverse and serious cardiac events, to just make that link. So if it's constantly made throughout the curriculum, then nursing students and other nurses start to get it, to get that link and that importance. As a follow-up, we just submitted, a different group of us, but also from the education work group, submitted a manuscript that is in press from the, and I believe that's also at the Nurse Educator Journal, on integrating climate change content into nursing education. So hopefully these are access, and the challenge is to keep marketing that need and to bring faculty on board with how important it is and really how simple it is. You don't have to be a big expert. We provided a lot of strategies to make that easy.
Well, has your strategy been to disseminate climate change throughout the curricula or to have a special focus on climate change? How are you approaching that, or what do you recommend?
Again, to disseminate it across the curricula, to consider areas, for example, if you're teaching about pediatric content, teaching about children, talk about the special risk to children for their impact from climate change around heat stress, around air quality, and the impact on conditions that are common in children, such as asthma. Talking about other vulnerable populations, for example, if you're working with older adults, and talking about, again, heat stress, but also where they live and what their impact is in adverse weather events that we see on the rise with climate change. So it's really a way to get faculty across the curriculum to all come on board with ways to think about what is our content. So in both cases, and I believe these recommendations are available on the NE website, that is the goal if they're not presently accessible, is to have a link so the faculty can actually see the different recommendations as they contribute or are applicable to particular courses or general content that is in every nursing curriculum prescribed by the American Association of Colleges of Nursing.
Terrific. That's a really terrific contribution to nursing education. And I think that's right. It's important to let faculty know that this resource is there, because each faculty member doesn't have to reinvent the wheel. This is content that's well established by science, well supported by evidence, that you all have pulled together into an accessible format. So thank you for that work.
Well, we hope that others will become engaged and carry it forward, that it becomes an essential component for nursing education. And along those lines, a goal of the education work group has been to collaborate with the National Association of State Boards of Nursing around the NCLEX exam, and to make questions pertinent to environmental health and climate change, so that all nurses are really required to learn that, and therefore faculty will come on board to teach that content.
Terrific. I wondered if you might comment also on your recently published work with Dr. McDermott Levy and others, and the model that links local concerns to planetary concerns from a nursing perspective.
Yes. We did work together to publish an article in a special edition of the Journal of Nursing Scholarship that addresses climate change. And again, because of our concerns for education, feeling that when you use that upstream analogy and you're thinking about how to address nursing education for what might be considered newer content like climate change or environmental health, we think of educating faculty in order to educate students. So in that article, we spoke more broadly. That's more of a precursor to the manuscript I mentioned subsequently of the specific recommendations, because in the Journal of Nursing Scholarship manuscript that is available online, and it says open access or free access to this article, so I believe that anybody can access that if they go online to the Journal of Nursing Scholarship. But that was more broad recommendations and looking at a broad framework, so the development of the ecological model for planetary health to kind of frame how you would develop your curriculum. And then we made, I believe there are about 10 broad recommendations that nursing educational content should address. So that's more of the precursor article that speaks more broadly to the importance of the topic, while the article that is in press with Nurse Educator was speaking more specifically to the nuts and bolts of how you would actually implement changes into the curriculum.
Terrific. I think both will be a real contribution. I wondered, not necessarily switching gears, but when you think about your life, both as a citizen of the world and as a nurse and as a professor, and environment and health, what is your biggest concern right now?
Well, twofold. We've been talking about climate change, so that's very important to me, especially as I look as a professor emeritus. I've had the good fortune to age, and now I'm a grandmother, and I particularly think about the impact on future generations and the concerns that we are really at a tipping point in addressing this. So that is one area. And the other area that really concerns me is as I learn more about, again, because of my age, I've been exposed to many of the more than 80,000 and who's counting, but the chemicals that have been developed in my lifetime that impact all aspects of exposures, whether it's from air or water or soil, but I'm most concerned with the changes in diet and food availability and the chemicals in food, the things that we absorb, that everyone is getting exposure to the pesticides and the chemicals and what these changes are doing to our intestinal natural microbiome that affects whether we have immunity, whether we develop chronic illness, things like cardiac disease and cancer, the fact that antibiotics are pervasive in our diet, even if we are not prescribed antibiotics, because it's the antibiotics are used in, particularly in animal products, in meats and poultry. And this really concerns me because no matter what one does to try and eat healthy and organic, many of things are so pervasive, even if you shop the outside of your supermarket with the fresh foods and dairy and proteins and those kind of products, you're still getting that exposure. And that really profoundly concerns me in terms of public health.
Is that an issue that you might see as similarly addressable in nursing curricula?
I think that's a good idea, Beth, actually. Maybe that will be our next project. And certainly that can engage some of the nursing faculty who teach in the medical surgical area where they teach about many of the chronic illnesses. They teach pathophysiology and maybe see this real concern, because I think this whole idea of the microbiome and inflammation and immunity is such a growing concern.
Mm-hmm. I wondered, recalling that nursing is a powerful voice, we nurses are the largest single profession in the nation and perhaps in the world in terms of healthcare, and also at least in the U.S. we've been the most trusted voice for many years. If you had the opportunity to speak to your community, nation, or world about environment and health, what would you say?
Well, I have been saying some of those things through my local state nurses, the ANA Rhode Island. We've had an environmental health task force that I've worked with, and we've done some presenting to the nurses and invited and interested participants. And I work in my local community on the Conservation Commission, but probably my most important voice was through my service to the appointed to an Environmental Protection Agency Federal Advisory Committee, Children's Health Protection Advisory Committee, for many years. And I feel that my voice has been, because, as you say, nurses are respected and we are able to translate highly technical information into kind of communication that works with a broad spectrum of people, I would really want to point out that we can make changes. We can be healthier, that it's not a real excuse me, a hopeless situation, that we are in a pivotal point for addressing climate change. We can make personal changes and we can work in our professions, our workplace settings, our communities to promote some of the policy making that will sustain future generations. I think, again, as I've mentioned before, that education is key. So any ways that you can promote people to educate their friends and family, to make personal changes, to make changes in their workplace, so don't require folks to go to big things in big places. Lots of small changes by many people will make a large impact.
That's very optimistic. Thank you. So thinking, shifting a little bit to an audience of nurses, what would you say to nurses about either making some connections or also inviting them to get involved? What are some messages for nurses?
Well, as a public health nurse, I've also felt strongly that prevention, health promotion, and health equity, I don't really think I spoke to that before, but with my background in public health and going into communities many, many years ago and seeing the injustice in social and physical environments, it helps me to really want to speak to nurses about the need to think more upstream, to think in terms of prevention, to understand that saving people from developing some of the chronic health issues or cancer or other harmful effects are key to being a nurse, and that should be part of all of our practice. I make the equation to many nurses when I've taught practicing nurses, and I've taught in a specialized environmental health nursing course, that when we take care of, even if we're taking care of the patient post-operatively, after surgery, much of what we're doing is preventive. We're preventing respiratory complications. We're preventing the effects of deep vein thrombosis. We're really being preventive in the care that we're giving. So I like to make that analogy and say that being preventive, by looking at our workplace setting, looking at our personal life, and looking about how we simply can integrate environmental health assessment into patient care, health education, so when people go home, they're not just going home with prescriptions for medications. They're going home with prescriptions for how to be safer in their world.
Great advice. Thank you. I've used up enough of your time. Is there anything else that you would like to add before we sign off today?
No, I really thank you. I guess maybe the only thing I would think of is, you know, personally, I've lived in the Northeast, and I happen to be blessed to look out at Mount Hope Bay, which is kind of the Northeast waterway from Narragansett Bay in Rhode Island. And it's a very pastoral scene when you look at salt water and you see lots of sea life and birds. But along with that, I have lived near a now closed coal-fired power plant. But for many years, I've been in this area almost 39 years. I used to live closer when I couldn't see it as well, but the effects were more profound. To think of what damage this was doing to the environment and to me personally, I developed more allergies and, you know, other effects from living near this plant. It's now closed. It's being purchased, and hopefully it's going to turn into some type of sustainable energy. I think the company that's bought it really does a lot with wind power. I'd much rather look across at something that was, you know, wind generators and sustainable than looking at the remnants of this power plant. But I think that's really a message, and I think a lot of people who don't live near something like this don't see the benefits of how the Clean Power Plan and strategies that are at a national level, national policy, not just local policy, can make a huge impact.
Great. That's a great reminder. Well, Jean, it's been wonderful to talk with you, and I appreciate your time. And to you, to those who are listening, thank you for joining us today on the Nurses for Healthy Environments podcast. If you want to learn more, please check out our website at environ.org. And also, if you have time, please rate us on iTunes podcast so people can find us more easily. Thanks, and talk to you next time.